Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This is the Five Times Podcast, hosted by Neil Mellor at Ellie's in Grigsby.
Welcome to the Five Times Podcast. Some great guests again for you this week. More on that in a second. Just a quick mention for the shows coming up. Limited tickets available for shows that Cara and Robbie Fowler are doing in the US and Australia. Please look on the website www.fivetimes.co.uk for details on that. Loads of shows in different cities. There's something for everyone out there, so I'm sure you'll have a great night if you go along to one of those. On this week's show, we look back on a forgettable Monday night football with John Aldridge and Jim Beglin as they assess our options up top. And also at the back, does Daniel Sturridge still have a big part to play? Would there be a way back perhaps for Danny Ings or even Sacco? Ray Houghton picks his Liverpool dream team 29 years on from when he first signed for Liverpool. He reflects on that. West Brom legend Darren Moore also, we get him on. He shares his thoughts on baggies. You wouldn't have fancied coming up against big Darren Moore back in the day. So let's get started. First up tonight, let's grab a quick word with former players chairman, a natural born goal scorer. He's got plenty of goals in the back of that. Much loved cop favourite, John Aldridge. Aldo, great to have you back on the Five Times Podcast. Wasn't an enjoyable game, was it, Monday? But what did you think of the way United approached it, illustrating perhaps that they're accepting that they are behind us at the moment?
Well, some people say that. He showed us a big compliment, to be quite honest. It's unlike many Man United sides of the past, including coming here with obviously Alex Ferguson, with Moyes and with Van Gaal. They showed a bit more attacking prowess, you know. But we knew Jose Mourinho was going to set up in that way. You know exactly what he did with Chelsea. And the plan, to be fair, to nearly come off if Ibrahimovic would have made more of that chance. But it was very doubtful to us. And it wasn't Liverpool's fault. If they'd have come out and made a game of it, it would have been a lot more entertaining.
Do you think we did enough to try and open up that defence, which seemed like there were so many bodies back?
Not in the first half. I think you know, Red Monday was hyped up, you know, to the hilt.
Yeah.
I think it got to certain players. Very nervy, giving the ball away, you know, a lot. Missed time passes. It was like a hot potato. And the first 20, 30 minutes were very, very scrappy. Well, the first half in particular was very scrappy, wasn't it? And we never settled down. They settled down because they were told to do a specific job, which they did. You know, just defend and try to get something on the counter attack. But we our little tippy tappy stuff. You know, we kept on running to their bus, which was parked on their 18-yard box.
You mentioned there about obviously the hype into the game. What about the timing though? Because obviously the international break comes along, we're absolutely flying going into it. And it just disrupted us a little bit, and such a big game coming on the back of it.
Yeah, but I think when you look at the Burnley game, people said that come at a bad time, but then it done us no harm. We won 5 on the bounce, so you can, you know, people can look at that either way. I think the one thing that hurt us was the fact that he made two changes in Wijnaldum and Lallana, which we were really well balanced, you know, as a team, you know. And you've got to expect injuries somewhere along the line, but you know the two players that came in struggled. You know, Sturridge and Sean, who both haven't really played. Both of them look very, very rusty, and I think that really, you know, damaged us. When Lallana came on, we looked a lot brighter, and you know we stepped up and nearly scored a couple of goals when he came on.
Yeah,
only for the keeper, it was fantastic yet again against us.
It makes a difference, doesn't it? You know, look at De Gea as a goalkeeper and think, he wins them games, wins them points, and there's very few goalkeepers, not just in England, but in world football, that can do that.
Oh, he's different class. You know, after the first year he came, you know, I was praying that he'd go to Real Madrid, to be quite honest.
on that transfer deadline day, I know, I remember.
Oh, yeah, he's done so well for them. He's been the best player for the last couple of years. you know, and the cop are clapping him. Because, you know, we're so generous Liverpool fans now. We're quality. By the way, you've got to sit back and say that's class, that, you know, Man United fans boo our goalkeeper, whatever, you know. He goes into the cup and you all clap and he claps. I thought, yeah, bit of class have that, you know, that was nice. But, you know, perhaps if we booed him next time, we might put him off a little bit because he had a storm a second half.
well, 8 games in, obviously we get a point from that game against Manchester United. We're fourth in the table. I mean, the start we've had, it's been tough, hasn't it? You know, some of the games that we've had away at Arsenal, Chelsea, you know, the champions, yeah. Leicester as well at home. After 8 games, fourth in the mix, you'd have taken that, wouldn't you?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, it's quite ironic that the only game we fought was Burnley. Mm. That's just, you know, it's madness when you look at it. But that's football for you. You know, we go to Tottenham, we should have won. You know, Burnley, you know, it's just one of those games. United, we could have so easily won. So it's good signs. It is good signs. The problem is now, you know, can lads raise the game against these teams that are coming up now? We're just going to batten down the hatches and make it difficult for us. You know, the very, very few teams coming up, we'll try and venture forward. We'll try and, you know, nick a point off us or nick 3 points off us. And, you know, last year we struggled. You know, it's another year. Hopefully the managers learn by it and the players have learned by it. You know, we can do things a little bit quicker, you know, in the last third and get the early goal or get the first goal and see that'll make it an awful lot difficult for these teams to come out and get something off us.
Do you think that's the key? Looking at some of these games here, West Brom, Palace, Watford, you know, all these sorts of sides, Sunderland are all coming up. That first goal is going to be vital in those sort of games because we mentioned the big teams, Arsenal, Chelsea, we've done brilliant against them. But these sort of games are the ones where we need to really accumulate the points, aren't they?
They are. You know, sometimes you need a little bit of luck when teams are defending, you know, so deep in numbers or a bit of ingenuity from the class players that we've got, you know, to get you that vital goal. Mm. Sometimes if it doesn't come along, they've got something to hang on to.
I just wonder how different it feels for you, Aldo, because I'm looking at us at fourth and we've had a good start, but in the past at this sort of stage it's been we've been seventh, we've been eighth, we've been tenth, we've been almost too far off and thinking we've got too much to catch up, whereas I think there's a genuine feeling we're involved this season, aren't we?
No, it's just spot on. You know, years gone by, you know, we've been, you know, 6 points behind and the further it gets, the harder you try. There's no margins for error. You know, we've got ourselves in a situation now. The only teams we haven't played from the top part of the league is Everton and City. You know, but we've got to get to these teams. We've got to put these teams to bed. You know, be clinical, and then see where it takes us because it's tight up there. You know, it's going to be a fantastic. We all expected it, didn't we? It's going to be a really good league this year. And it's panning out that way. It's really interesting.
I wanted to ask you about Daniel Sturridge. He started the other night against Manchester United. No Premier League goal, which is quite surprising. We've scored a lot of goals this season. He's fit. You know, he seems to have had the injury troubles behind him. A year ago, we were desperate for him to be starting. He was a must starter.
Yeah.
What do you think's changed?
I think it's great in the fact that, you know, people are saying now that, you know, maybe he shouldn't be starting, which is great. Mm. Last year we were panicking, weren't we? Keep him fit. But to be fair, and he must know himself, Daniel, he's not set the world alight, has he?
No.
You know, he needs goals. As strikers, you need goals. He's not scored a league goal. I know he hasn't played an awful lot, like 4 or 5, whatever. But he's got to score goals. He's got to get himself in the positions to score a goal. The other night, only once where Firmino failed to see him at the far post if it had tapped in. Mm. Other than that, he wasn't getting the areas. He's dropping off a little bit too deep at times. He's not running behind. You know, and maybe his confidence is down because he hasn't got that goal. I don't know, but he certainly doesn't look himself in and around the 18-yard box. But we'll wait and see how it goes. But the fact what I'm saying is now, you know, people can say, well, Firmino does well up there with the lads in behind him. You know, Lallana, Coutinho and Mane, and you've got Origi and Danny Ings now is coming, you know, to the fore, you know, getting games under his belt and goals under his belt for the 23s. It looks a little bit more promising than it did last year.
Yeah, well, just on Sturridge, I wonder, does he suit the system? Or you mentioned there about confidence. How key is confidence for a centre-forward? Because centre-forwards, you know, your record was incredible. Love putting the ball in the back of the net, and he's gone a few games without hitting the back of the net, and confidence can play a big part, can't it, because he's such a quality player.
Yeah, Well, you know as well, you know, Neil, you know the fact.
Not as many as you are, though.
but you know, when you're not scoring goals, the goals are shrinking, and the goalie looks 7 foot, and he looks the width of Neville Southall. You think, I can't see the corners here. You know, you need one to go in off your backside sometime, or an easy chance right away. And all of a sudden, that goal just inspires you, and next one comes along, you're a lot more confident. It's crazy, but that's what confidence is, massive in football. It always has been.
We asked the fans to get in touch and give us a question. Philip McGough from Twitter has been in touch. Would you rather have dinner, Aldo, with the fourth official from USA 94 or Sepp Blatter?
Oh, the official. Absolutely. Yeah, no problem. I'd like them to say, well, get an apology from him, yeah, absolutely.
would you make it?
I'll apologise for my bad language at the same time.
there was a Football League manager this week, Adam Murray at Mansfield, and he's banned players from using mobile phones. He said that they need to communicate. They can't expect to just have their head down in the mobile phone all the time. Do you think that's a good move?
I think in and around the training ground, yeah, I do, yeah. I think, yeah, you know, it's social media, it's just taking over the world. But at certain times when you're training or after training in and around, I think he's got a point, you know, ditch them, put them away. Have them on sound case or have a number, obviously, if something, you know, comes up regarding a family, is very, very important. Obviously, you can do that. Mm. But I think in and around when you're training, hey, for three or four hours, you know, throughout, not have it. You know, when you're training anyway, it's not a problem, is it?
I want to know what you would ban, because you've been there as a manager. For me, it's the headphones, it's the baseball caps. It absolutely does me. I didn't want to see, you know, them getting interviewed or even walking into the changes, and I'm thinking, it almost looks like a lack of discipline, like a lack of respect.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, when you used to put food on for the lads and they'd come in with caps, you know, when I was growing up, it was always, you know, bad manners to have a cap on or a hat on when you're eating. And in the end, we had to say, look, that's, you know, just for, while you're eating, don't have the cap on. It might be old-fashioned, but it just doesn't look good on you, you know what I mean? But yeah, manners is a good thing to have, isn't it?
We've got another question from Twitter for you. Russ Anderson's been in touch. The question he wants you to answer is, should we cash in on Daniel Sturridge in January, and is it time to give Danny Ings a start?
Well, only Jurgen Klopp knows that. It's not for me to say, isn't it? Mm. Daniel knows he's got to do better. He knows he's under pressure now. You know, the place isn't, you know, it's not whenever he's fit. You know, the player's playing well, and he's got to battle, score goals to keep the place. That's the way it is, and the way it should be. And it's great to see Danny Ings, you know, really champing at the bit, because he's had a nightmare year or so. His way of playing would suit the way we play as well. So, you know, Daniel could have a bit of a fight on his hand for the place.
Well, he's doing all he can, Danny Ings, scoring goals, 23s. To finish with then, we just had a little chat there about the baseball caps and how we don't like to see them. Another one arrives on Saturday. Tony Pulis comes with his West Brom side. I can't imagine that being too exciting again. What are you expecting from this one?
I don't even want to get from Tony. You know, even from West Brom under him. They've had a really good start to the season, to be fair. Mm. You know, last year I watched the game and the way they went about it wasn't great. You know, they got a 2-2 result, you know, the free kicks, corners, they are exceptional. They put some fantastic balls in. We can't afford to give too many silly fouls away in the last third, you know, because they can make us pay. And they defend really well. You know, he's got them together, you know, very regimental. And we'll make it tough. We need the first goal. Mm. We really do, you know. They've only conceded a few goals as well, so he's got them, you know, well clued up.
Aldo, brilliant. Thanks for joining us.
All right, mate.
Wish you well. Cheers, Aldo.
All right, Mel. All the best, pal.
Brilliant. Thank you. Top stuff.
To hear previous podcasts, check out and rate our page on iTunes. Thanks for listening.
Great to hear from Aldo there. And let's keep the Irish theme going then. Jim Beglin now is waiting to speak to us. Let's talk United first off. Jim, it was a long wait. Plenty of hype ahead of the game, the Liverpool United game on Monday. Did you expect the sort of match we got?
I did, actually. In the build-up, because we do the world feed, we get asked to do lots of little kind of pieces for other broadcasters, but Man United Television asked me to do a little piece, and I don't think they were that impressed by the time I finished it, because I thought Mourinho might try to stifle things and find a way of making it hard for Liverpool. I think you have to remember as well, Neil, that the last big game they played in the Premier League this season was the Manchester Derby.
Yeah.
And for the first half at Old Trafford, they were totally outplayed by Manchester City before they kind of rallied a little bit. He made a change at half time, getting Herrera on, and and they kind of looked a bit better second half. So there was no way I think he was going to let that happen again and Liverpool dominate the ball as Manchester City did. So I think what he put in place was clever. Is it ugly? Yeah. Did it spoil things on the night? Of course it did. But listen, it's part of the game and you have to respect it. And I thought Manchester United did a very good job of stopping Liverpool that way. Mm-hmm. I think they just shut things down. They kind of reversed the press, didn't they? And they shut things down across midfield. And it obviously starved good possession to, you know, Liverpool's craftsmen, Firmino, Coutinho, Mane. And of course, Daniel Sturridge became a kind of an isolated figure up front. And tactically, you know, he got it right. I mean, after that, they were just hoping for a moment to come along or maybe to cash in on a set piece. But I think Jurgen Klopp was kind of right in saying as well that your opposition might do that to you, but you still have to find a way around it. And I think Liverpool were a little surprised by what happened and a little kind of off the mark in the first half. Second half, I thought it improved a little bit and United dropped. Lallana gave Liverpool a kind of an extra little surge, but overall it was a dud.
Yeah, well, looking at the way United approached the game and big rivals, and I still look at United as rivals this season for where we're going to finish in the league table. I expect the sort of approach that they did on Monday night from a West Brom, from a Sunderland coming to Anfield, and I think that's why there's been a lot of criticism, because United have spent a lot of money, and okay, Mourinho's coming in and inherited that after Louis van Gaal. But the amount of quality they have in that squad to have approached the game with the way he did, almost six defenders, two just in front, and Pogba just playing off Ibrahimovic. For me, he got his result, but I'm thinking surely he expects a little bit more from someone like United.
But Mourinho doesn't care about that. I mean, I go back to, I remember working on the, when he was at Inter Milan, the Inter Milan-Bayern Munich Champions League final. Inter Milan won that 2-0. Milito scored two goals and they had something like 28 or 29% possession. And I think United had the lowest possession stats of 35% in the Premier League after that game the other night.
Yeah.
I think Manchester United, as soon as Guardiola, I think, was kind of announced as the next appointment at Manchester City, Manchester United, I think, realised that they had to get somebody who could maybe compete with them. And not necessarily on a level of style, but just on a level of pure competition. And I think that's why Mourinho's there. As soon as Mourinho was appointed at Manchester United compromised any wish to go back to the Fergie style of play. They've just said, well, you know, we're not really bothered about that. It's about results. I think as well, Neil, he's still tinkering with his best formation, maybe his best team. I think Herrera's come in and done a good job there. I always thought Fellaini would come in the other night and kind of and you know play to that kind of approach. Pogba was released, wasn't he, further forward?
But
it was a game of pressing. I thought the two midfields almost cancelled each other out and nobody could really get anything going, and I think Pogba, you know, was a victim, and Ibrahimovic, and indeed Sturridge and the Liverpool kind of half forward line.
Well, you mentioned in there about Fellaini coming into the side, and I totally agree with you. Expected him to start the game. What surprised me was after United quieted us down in that first 20 minutes, that was a real opportunity to put crosses into the penalty. We've looked a little bit unconvincing this season with crosses in, new goalkeeper in Karius. And with Fellaini in the side, I thought United would really bombard us with that, but he had no intention, Fellaini, of getting in the box and trying to get on the end of any crosses.
Yeah, I think that would have been part of Manchester United's ploy. I think the set-piece situation, we know, you know, all about Manchester United have improved in that regard. They look more dangerous now. They've got extra height on their side with Pogba, Ibrahimovic, when Fellaini plays, centre-backs coming up. So, you know, that is a kind of a position of threat for them now, mm-hmm. whereas Liverpool are a little vulnerable in that regard. And I thought Manchester United would make kind of much more of that. I agree with you totally. I even said that, you know, to try and avoid Liverpool's press, Manchester United might go quite long and direct. Mm-hmm. At times they did. And I thought that would be their kind of modus operandi, but they never really got anything going. And I mean, you know, what is it? Ibrahimovic had the one chance really with the header, and he made a mess of it. But apart from that, we saw hardly anything go into the box. A couple of things were flashed across. I know Karius got a little glance on one from Rashford, and then he kind of flapped at another, and there was a foul given on the far post. But no, Manchester United offered very little. If anyone was going to nick it, it was Liverpool. Coutinho almost did, but De Gea matched with a great save, didn't he? But you know, overall, if you're a Man United fan and you're hoping for a little more style, then you know you're certainly not going to get it in big games like that. And Mourinho, I think, wanted to try and restore his reputation having lost to Manchester City, because you know over the years we've seen him with Chelsea, they've been very difficult to beat, and they've got great records in the big games. And I think Mourinho just wanted to get back to basics.
Walking out of Anfield on Monday night, I was disappointed, felt frustrated, but looking at a positive, it was a clean sheet. And United, as tough as the game it is, they always seem to have a knack of scoring a goal against us, so it was pleasing to actually get a clean sheet and against United as well.
Yeah, well, absolutely. I think that's a kind of an area of huge importance for Liverpool this season, because you know under Brendan Rodgers never quite got it right, and then under Jurgen Klopp it was a little kind of erratic at times. I mean, winning big, but also kind of conceding quite a few goals. And I think Liverpool, I think in the last year, in terms of goals traded, I think are at the top of that particular table.
Yeah.
There's a lot of goals been exchanged. But I think it is very important that things are kind of solidified a little defensively, more than a little. Because over the course, if Liverpool are kind of going to sustain maybe a run at the title, who knows at this stage, certainly a top four position, then it's got to be better at the back. But I liked what we saw at Chelsea, where they had to kind of dig in second half. And then you go back to the Swansea game, where it wasn't good in the first half, but they dug it out. You know, they dug one out in the second half that day. And that needs to continue, because we know the really stylish, slick attacking play is there. We know Liverpool can call upon that, but it has to be matched with a much steelier side at the back. And you know, and I'm sure there's a concentration on that and what he's doing this season and trying to make sure that, you know, that's all settled. We'll have to see in the longer term as well with Karius. It's still difficult to assess, because you know he got very little to do the other night. I know he made one error with the ball at his feet. Some people are saying the jury's out. Well, just let's see how he goes. I mean, he's bound to have been, you know, a little apprehensive in coming into the team. So let's see what he's like if he gets a run of 6 to 10 games. And I think we'll be much better placed then to see how good or not he is.
Well, to get that steal defensively, how important is it, do you think, to get a settled defence? It appears that Matip and Lovren seem to be the centre-half partnership. Klein, who's a survivor from a year ago. Milner's being filled in at that left full-back position. And obviously the new goalkeeper in Karius. I look at some of the players who aren't involved in that. You know, your Sacco, your Moreno, Mignolet. And I just wonder, is there any future for them, or is it going to be really difficult for them to get back into the side, do you think?
Well, I think in terms of the goalkeeping situation, I think there's good competition there now. And I think that's what Klopp wanted to put up to Mignolet in the first place, you know, in getting Karius in. So, you know, as I say, if there are one or two errors down the line, then, you know, Mignolet could be getting a look in again. In terms of Moreno getting in at left back, I can't see it happen anytime soon. We're all a little surprised that he didn't sign a left back in the summer, but James Milner looks as if he's been playing there all his life. And that's coming from somebody who played a little bit at left back. I'm very impressed with him. You know, he's a good hearted lad and he's got great application and he gives you everything he has. But I think he's been a good steady presence there. And in terms of the centre backs, whatever's gone on with Sacco, I know he obviously upset Klopp during the summer. He's got to go through the whole process of kind of easing his way back into it. I mean, he had some tremendous performances last season in the Europa League. So I wouldn't say his time at Anfield is completely up yet. He's, as long as he does the right things from now, he can work his way back in, because you never know with injuries and suspensions and stuff like that. But I actually like the two that are in there at the moment. I mean, I spent a couple of years working on German football, and I saw a lot of Matip when he was a little younger. Mm. And I have to admit that I always felt he had a mistake in him, and I was always a bit nervy for him. But I think he's matured, and the extra experience and that little bit of age he's got now. And he looks good. He looks good to me. I like Matip. And Lovren had a very nervy introduction, didn't he, to his Liverpool career. And everybody was like thinking, oh my God, what's he going to do next? But his confidence has grown now. And you're kind of looking to Lovren at the moment as a kind of as a reliable, you know, as somebody you can kind of, as you can depend on. And I think that's a good thing. And I just hope they get the chance to develop an understanding and stay in there together and make it hard for anybody to knock him out, whether it be Klavan or Sacco, if he gets another look.
Yeah, there's no question. Matip's been very impressive to deal with Costa and Ibrahimovic. But let's look ahead to what can be achieved this season. Obviously, we're currently fourth in the table. There's only 8 games gone, but it has been a very, very tough start to the season with some of those fixtures. What can be achieved, do you think, this season?
Well, I mentioned a potential run at the title. I think that's the way Klopp is. I mean, when I look at Jurgen Klopp, and I was fortunate to have a little sit down and be in his company last season, and he is very impressive. And he just says it as it is. He's just a straight talker.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than 1 billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
And I think he sets big targets. I don't think he's going to mouth off about them, but I do. And just kind of watching him and the way he coaches from the touchline, and he's so hands-on, it kind of brings me back to, you know, almost, you know, Ronnie Moran and back to the side I played in, and, you know, where the levels were really high. He sets the bar was set really high back then, and I think he's doing the same thing, and I like that. I like to watch that. So I think he's aiming high. I think, maybe to go all the way on a title run this season might be asking a lot. But if things can be more consistent on a defensive basis, I think that there's a possibility that Liverpool could have a blast at it. I'm not going to say Liverpool are going to win the title, but they could have a crack at it. They could be up there towards the end. It could be something like 13-14, because at times there has been that excitement recreated again, almost like, you know, Sturridge, Sterling and of course Suarez, Luis Suarez. Mm-hmm. And the thrill that Liverpool got, you know, that season, just very unlucky to miss out. There might be something like that again on the cards. But I think there's a very realistic chance now. I mean, I said top four at the start of the season. I think there's a very realistic chance of top four. And I think if that's what it ends up with, then I think it would be the next step for Jurgen Klopp and this Liverpool team. And I think it would be progress.
Yeah, I totally agree with the progress shout there. Looking ahead to West Brom, as frustrating as Monday was against Manchester United, I look at West Brom coming into town and it could be another very frustrating afternoon. What do we need to do differently? Because you're talking there about it needs to be a little bit consistently better this season if we are to challenge title top four. But this sort of team, West Brom coming to Anfield, they're going to come, everyone behind the ball, right, you come and break us down. You couldn't do it against United. Can you do it against us on Saturday? What do we need to do, do you think, differently?
Spot on. Just have to hope that the kind of the calibre of opposition is a little less, and they won't be as tight. But I totally agree with what you've just said. I think Tony Pulis will try and do a Mourinho on Liverpool. And I think Liverpool will be expecting it now. And I'd like to think, you know, they might have been kind of caught a little on the hop by what Manchester United did and the way they suppress things. But I would think, you know, clearly you're going to need the Firminos, the Coutinhos, the Sanes, bang on form. If those guys' first touch is good, and it wasn't always good the other night, and they're able to get on the half turn, then I think we're going to be in a much better position. What we failed to do with those fellas the other night was get them in the little pockets of space between midfield and defence. Manchester United compressed all that. I think West Brom will try to do likewise. And so much so, you saw those creative players for Liverpool dropping deep to try and get on the ball. Even Sturridge at one stage was coming really deep. I think there has to be that kind of improvement throughout the team, that there's much more zip in the ball, that the first touch is better, the technical side of the game is better. And if that's the case and they can start linking up, then I think West Brom are going to have big problems. But that's all it is. It's just finding a way around the blockade. And you do that with quick movement and passing. I mean, you can't reinvent the game. It's, you know, and these situations keep on cropping up. But it's just trying to maintain those levels, and it's not always easy to do. I think the media create this demand for almost perfection every game, you know, that you're going to be perfect in everything you do. It doesn't work like that. You know, even back then when Liverpool were winning titles, you'd play really well most of the team for 8 to 10 games a season, and you might kind of drop points in a couple of those games, you know, and so on and so forth then down the line. So it's all about Liverpool kind of maintaining those standards. And I have a lot of trust in Jurgen Klopp to have that delivered, to extract that from his players. I think that the signs are really promising and very positive.
Yeah, I hope we can deliver against West Brom on Saturday. Aside from football, I know you enjoy your football watching different levels all throughout Europe. Do you have a little bit of TV time perhaps with the missus, something different away from football? I'm only asking this because Gogglebox on Friday has Daniel Sturridge appearing. Are you going to be watching it?
I'll have to watch that. I definitely have to watch that. Well, I'll tell you, yeah, myself and the missus are into, I'm sure people have heard of it. There's a kind of a Danish detective program, series, box set, whatever, called The Killing. And I'm catching up with that. I'm a latecomer to that. And funnily enough, I was down at Chelsea last Saturday for the Leicester game, and I saw Big Jan and the commentator he works with for Danish TV, Karsten. And I went over to them and I said, for Bridelson, because that's what comes up on the screen, that means The Killing. And they both looked at me and said, what? I said, for Bridelson. And they went, what? And then Jan said, spell it. So I spelled it out. And they went, oh, you mean for Bridelson? So Jan hasn't watched it, but his mate had, and it's quite good. There's a few twists in it, and it drags on a little bit in parts, but it keeps you guessing, and I like a bit of that.
Jim, I wondered where you were going with that Danish shout then, but enjoy Gogglebox with Daniel Sturridge, and obviously the game on Saturday against West Brom. We thank you and wish you all the best.
Yeah, cheers, Neil. I'll be there on Saturday and looking forward to 3 points.
Brilliant. Jim, thank you.
All the best.
Coming soon to a city near you, the Liverpool Legends. For more information and ticket prices, check out our websites, 5times.co.uk.
29 years ago this week, Liverpool signed a player that knew our previous two guests very well indeed, and he went on to make a huge impression on arguably the most flamboyant Liverpool team of all time.
McManaman's gone to the left of Burrows, allowing Houghton to come through the middle, and he's gone again. Liverpool have got their third. Ray Houghton.
So Ray, what did you make of that last Monday at Anfield when United came and it was 0-0?
Well, yeah, I think everyone was anticipating it was going to be a really good game. The form Liverpool had shown recently, where they've been playing some outstanding attacking football, it just didn't materialise. You know, Manchester United came with a game plan which we all anticipated, which was to sit back, frustrate Liverpool, try to hit them on a counter-attack. Just didn't live up to the hype that surrounded it. But it's probably a better point for United than it was for Liverpool, because with the games Liverpool's got coming up, if they could have picked up three from that, You know, I really would have fancied that we put a good run together and put the other teams in and around under a bit of pressure.
I just wonder, when the team news broke and we were missing Lallana and Wijnaldum, how big a miss those two players were for us.
Yeah, I totally agree with you there, Neil. I think both of them have shown great form throughout the games that they've played this season. Lallana's playing in a deeper role than he certainly was playing for Liverpool last season. And it suits him. He gets around the pitch a lot more. He gets involved a lot more. He's looked bright in possession of the ball. I think Wijnaldum's been a great signing for us. Alongside Henderson in midfield, they complement each other so well. He does a lot of work that maybe not everyone sees, but it's only when he's not in the team you realise his importance and how Liverpool play. So they were two massive losses from that point of view. But you know what? If you're going to be a big team, you need players to come in and replace them. And I don't think the lads came in, and you know, they came in with the right intentions. It just didn't quite work on the night. But you know, when you're playing against one of your big rivals, you know, sometimes you just have to take it on the chin that you weren't at your best and at least you've not been beaten, and that's the only good thing we can take out of the game.
Yeah, how did Emre Can do for you? Because I felt as though at times he was a little bit similar to Jordan Henderson, a little bit too deep, whereas Wijnaldum and Lallana, they really do bomb forward and add to the attack.
Yeah, but that's one of the things, Neil. You know, you've got to take into, you know, into the debate when you're talking about when Emre Can comes in, is what he gives the team, what does he offer? You know, he's more of a box-to-box player at times. He can't sit deep as he did alongside Henderson. And he's not played a lot of matches, so I'd give him a little bit of leeway. You know, he had a great season last season. He's had to be very patient because others have maybe got ahead of him this time around. And when you come in, you're under pressure to perform straight away. And it didn't quite come off for him. But there's no doubt that he's going to be a major influence for Liverpool over the years. Just got to stick by him. Still young, still learning. I think as fans and as people in the media, we're always looking for perfection. We're always looking for players to come in straight away and hit the ground running. They've got to be 8, 9 out of 10. That's not always going to be the case. You have to be patient with players, and certainly someone like him, you know, I'll give him a bit of leeway.
And he nearly scored, of course, after that magnificent save by David De Gea. With West Brom round the corner, another team where you're thinking they're going to make it really frustrating for us, you know, the term park the bus sort of thing, but they are going to sit very deep and make it difficult for us to break them down. What answers do we need to change?
Well,
that performance.
Yeah, the difference
United?
Is, you know, it's put the ball in the back of the net. You know, Liverpool had two good chances. You know, and they were manufactured, weren't they, in many respects. The one for Emery, where he was really unlucky. You know, the little left foot curl out at the bottom corner, and what a save from De Gea. But he didn't see it too late, and it was quite close. So he had to manoeuvre himself to his right-hand side to make the save. I thought it was outstanding. And then the save he made from Coutinho was absolutely world-class. You know, Coutinho's done that so many times for Liverpool. Cuts in, curls that ball in the far corner, looked like it was going in, and somehow he got his right hand to make the save. And another day that goes in and you win the match. So, you know, that was a little bit unfortunate. There's going to be many more teams this season, because of the way Liverpool are playing, that are going to come and park the bus. And you've just got to try and find a way, you know, to open up the defences. Certainly the personnel's there, you know, and I think with Lallana coming on as a substitute the other night, Wijnaldum will come back, I'm sure, at some stage as well. And once they do, with the quality there, that Liverpool will be fine. They'll be good enough to open up defences. They'll score goals as they've done before, but they've just got to be patient at times. Fans have got to be patient. Players have got to be patient. Wait for the openings, and then make sure when you're in that situation that you put the ball in the back of the net and you walk away. And if you win 1-0, you know, you think, thanks very much, 3 points. It's the same as winning 4-0. You still get the same number of points. It's only your goal difference is a little bit better.
I think the current team would love a modern-day Ray Houghton in there. 29 years ago, I think the anniversary is. How does that feel to reflect
very old.
Back on that time?
Very old indeed, Neil, let me tell you. I can still remember the day I came up. I played for Oxford United against West Ham on the Saturday, and after the game, my wife and I came up to Southport to meet the chairman, Sir John Smith, Peter Robinson, the chief executive, and Kenny Dalglish and the hotel, sat down. Discussions didn't last long. Didn't need to. I mean, I just knew I wanted to play for this club. And once we sorted out the financial package, which once again didn't take long, I had my medical the next day. And then I went up to Dundee with Kenny that day on the Sunday and played in a testimonial on the Monday. So I met the lads for the first time Monday morning, and it was just 5 wonderful years. You know, my career there was finished first, second, first, second, sixth. You know, and that's what it was all about for Liverpool, being up there competing, winning things. And it was just an absolute joy and a privilege to be part of that. You know, your special clubs have, you know, you fueled part of that club, and certainly their 5 years at Liverpool when they were a top side, winning things was absolutely incredible.
Yeah, very impressive and a great contribution from yourself back then. What we did a little feature a couple of weeks ago with Mark Lawrence, and we asked him to pick, a five-a-side team. We gave him a few categories.
Yeah.
And it'd be interesting to see how different perhaps your team would be to his team. One of those categories, which we'll start with, is right-footed player. Who for you had a real wand of a right foot that you could trust out there on the pitch?
Oh, Jan Mulby. But how far do you want to hit the pass? 5 yards, 50 yards? On for your sixpence? Jan had it all. You know, he was absolutely incredible. I once watched Jan play in the 1986 World Cup. Go and have a look at it on YouTube and see a fella who had such a variety of passing, which was absolutely to die for. It was absolutely outstanding. His quality was top-notch, so that's quite an easy one. For me, listen, there was plenty of good passes of the ball at Liverpool, but not with his range. You know, and by the way, right foot or left foot, it didn't matter to Jan. He was equally adept on either foot.
Well, we'll keep him in the right-footed category. Who will we put in the left-footed category?
Well, we didn't have many, to be honest. There wasn't a lot at the club. With Steve Staunton, Gary Ablett, and then we had John Barnes. You know, Barnes, my favourite player that I played alongside at Liverpool. You know, whenever I'm asked who was the best player you played with, John Barnes, his first 2-3 seasons at Liverpool was untouchable. He was absolutely outstanding. He had a fantastic way to pass, great cross to the ball. You know, scored some spectacular goals with his left foot as well. So that's another quite an easy one for me, John Barnes.
Building a nice little team here. We've got Mulby and we've got Barnes. And what about the best engine for you?
The best engine? I would have to say Nigel Spackman. Spackman was when he played, got up and down the pitch. The Duracell battery, non-stop. he was constantly on the move, Spackman. So, you know, there'll be a few other Steve McMahon was a bit like that. Stevie was brilliant in that. But I just felt with Nigel, he never looked tired, Nigel. He never looked like broke sweat. Everything always seemed quite easy for him. So that'd be quite an easy one for me, yeah.
Next one, vision. Who had the best vision?
Oh, the best vision. Well, I tell you how I had watched him so many times, and I've often wondered how he got into positions. Ronnie Whelan. Ronnie was the best reader of the game I played with. You know, you would think, you know, in training, you would get the ball and you would see a pass, and as you were going about the pass, Ronnie would come across and he'd be in your way, and you'd be like, where did he come from? You know, it was about, how did that happen? He wasn't there before. His vision and how he's seen the game and he read it was exemplary. He was absolutely fantastic, Ronnie, from that point of view. Not the quickest over the ground, but his brain and seeing things, positioning where it should be, was absolutely outstanding.
Well, it's interesting because when we did it with Loro, he had Ronnie Whelan in, but he had him as the hard man, which is your last category. Who's going to be your hard man?
Well, he was the dirtiest hard man as well. I'll tell you a quick story. We played in the FA Cup at Carlisle, and I remember a lad coming in and he looked like he was going to go in over the top with a challenge on Ronnie, and you sort of turned away thinking, oh no, Ronnie's going to get hurt. And Ronnie came in and put the lad on his backside, and I said to him, what happened to him? I seen him coming 10 minutes ago. He said, not a bother, that was fine. he once again, that was his reading of the situation, and he knew how to put his foot in. But you know what? You know, he was fair at the same time. He didn't go in to hurt people. He went in to win the ball. But he was very good at it.
But, well, he can't go in the hard man category.
Yeah,
as well.
Okay.
He's in the vision, so who's going to be a hard man?
I tell you, he was quite hard as well. Big Al Hansen. Everyone thought he was a cultured footballer. Let me tell you, in training, when needed, he put his foot in. Don't worry about that. He was flying into challenges as well. So Al could do that. There's no danger about that either. So from that point of view, I'll put Hansen in there. I've got to get him in somewhere. He was my roommate for a number of years, so I've got to get him in there somewhere.
Brilliant. Ray Houghton's five-a-side team. Right footer Jan Mulby, left footer John Barnes, best engine Nigel Spackman, vision Ronnie Whelan, and the hard man was Alan Hansen. What a side that is. I'm sure that would give Loro's side a good game there. Right, to finish with Ray, West Brom, what are you expecting from this one?
Well, a tough game again. I think Liverpool, you know, these are games you probably looked at on paper and the only thing, you know, this could be 3 points. You know, if we're on the game, 3 points. But look what happened with West Brom recently against Tottenham, an unbeaten Tottenham this season in the league. You know, they were 1-0 down Spurs. We were only a couple of minutes to go when Dele Alli came up with an important equaliser for them. So you have to be on your game. You have to be focused. And if your players play to the same level as the opposition when it comes to commitment and attitude, then your better ability will shine through. And that's what I'm looking for Liverpool. to do. I think the managers, you know, really told the players they know in certain times they have to keep the focus. That was shown against Swansea away, where he said, you know, listen, you know, everyone thinks it's going to be easy. It's not. We have to match their energy, which they did. And then when the Swansea players run out of steam, Liverpool really took over. And that will be the case this time around against West Brom. You have to match them. And then when they start to fatigue a little bit, get a little bit tired, then your better quality comes through. And that's when you have to finish off the chances that you create.
Ray, absolutely brilliant. Thank you for joining us on the Five Times podcast.
All the best. Thanks, Neil.
The Legend Show on the Five Times podcast.
Okay, brilliant. Delighted to say I'm joined by Darren Moore, the former West Brom man. Welcome to the Five Times podcast. Tell us, what are you up to these days?
I'm now a professional development coach at West Bromwich Albion. The role nearly entails me working with the under-23s, but the elite players, what we deem in the under-23s, is that step up from the 23s into the first team. So I work between both the first team and the 23s and sort of watch and see the better players that are doing really well and excelling in the 23s. They make that transition from the 23s into the first team. So, for instance, we've got Sam Field, Jonathan Nicole and Kane Wilson in and around the first team. So it's just really keeping that communication from the first team into the academy and working in with both groups and that, you know, and also at the same time that the ones that don't step up into the first team that work out, that goes out on loan, which we've got eight out the building at the moment, it's just watching them and managing them at their different various clubs that are at in League One and League Two and making sure that their development's coming along as well.
Do you train at the same facility as the first team, so the young players may get an opportunity to train a few more times with the first team?
Yeah, absolutely. We're all at the same facility. The training centre's on two sites, and you've got the younger ones up near the football club in the academy building, and then we've got the professional development phase, which you've got the first team, the under-23s and under-18s in the same camp. So the more younger, promising ones is always in the manager's eye line. On a daily, weekly basis.
It's such an interesting topic. Obviously, at Liverpool, we've seen a number of young players progress through into the first team, but it's really about trying to establish themselves, and it is very, very difficult. I mean, how difficult do you think it is for some of these young players now?
It's really difficult because you're talking, they're going up against pros that's been in the Premier League and played 200, 300, 400 or more games. So it's very, very difficult. The Premier League, he's gathering momentum, it's getting bigger and bigger each and every single year. Everybody wants success by the pick of the fingers, which sometimes it doesn't work like that. So you're on the front line, so managers' jobs and livelihoods are at risk, really, to really try and put a youngster in. Any youngster getting in the game now, the likes of Gareth Bale, Oxlade Chamberlain, Theo Walcott, all those boys, Jermaine Janus, what was Luke Shaw, what came onto the scene at 17, 16, 17, 18 and established themselves. Those are your benchmarks for the kids now. You're looking forward now. That's their level and the consistency you have to get at now, week in, week out, a Premier League club. Not just mentally, but physically. Can you manage it physically, week in, week in, week out, to train with a group of players and then play against opposition on a Saturday and still contribute and get the result for the football club? So it's really, really difficult for youngsters coming in now on to deal with the game on a mental basis, but on a physicality week in, week out. And these are the things where they get tested week in, week out. So it's very difficult. Not only that, but the prize was at the end of it, you know, the lure of being successful in the Premier League and challenging for the cups, or even if it's just to be, just to stay in the Premier League. It's a real, real difficult time for the youngsters. But not to say that they can't do it. It's just that the level of expectancy is rising each and every single year.
Mm. Well, the first team, your first team, West Brom, visit Anfield on Saturday. You've seen more of West Brom than we have this season. When we think of West Brom coming to Anfield, we're thinking it could be another frustrating afternoon. How have West Brom been this season so far?
Yeah, I mean, we're certainly a team and a football club that's been growing in the right way, in the right manner. Certainly that most teams that we've come against so far have found it very, very difficult to play against us. When you've got a squad of players and sort of buying into a system, not to get route beat, but cause problems when the opportunities arise for us. That's been West Brom, really. Very difficult to beat. Very, very hard team to get momentum against because the players work so hard for each other and believe in each other. This season we've added a little bit more to the squad at the transfer deadline, which has helped the squad. And as I said, you know, we're just as game by game going, we're starting to grow. The best thing probably for us, Neil, was the transfer window closing, everybody settling down, and we know the job is in hand now. And as you've seen over the last 3, 4, 5 weeks, we've strung together some real good positive results based on the back that, you know, it'll be very, very difficult to play against. And I'm hoping and that, you know, we carry on in that same vein because we have to be that way and that good to get anything from Liverpool. We know that arriving at Anfield on Saturday, it's going to be a difficult game. Jurgen Klopp's got a wonderful brand of football there, an exciting brand of football, a brand of football that brings a lot of energy, speed, tempo, angles. They test opponents, they ask questions of opponents. So certainly on Saturday, as a squad, not just a unit, but just as a squad, we're going to certainly have to be at our best and continue in the same vein. If not, we need to dig even deeper, really, to go up to sort of Anfield and get something from it. You've seen the Manchester United game in the week. The respect that Jose paid to Liverpool in terms of arriving with what people may deem another talented squad, but the squad denied and nullified Liverpool any spaces to work in between and that, you know, and that was Manchester United. So it just goes to show what the world of football thinks with the brand of football that Jurgen Klopp's brought to Anfield. And they're a dangerous opposition.
Well, I'm looking at your squad and you mentioned a little bit earlier on about a couple of new arrivals within that West Brom squad. One that certainly caught the eye for me as an outsider has been Chadli. You know, I wonder how good has he been and is he somebody that we really need to be mindful of at Anfield on Saturday?
Yeah, he's a quality player. He's an excellent player and he's certainly been a breath of fresh air for us. He's given the team a new dimension. His cleverness to work off the front man, Rondon's been excellent. His touch and play, his awareness, his game understanding, his work rate, all what you need with good players. He has all those in abundance. A wonderful man, a great character around the dressing room, full of positive energy, and a great, great person to have on board. We're absolutely delighted to have him on board at West Brom. He looks like he's been given a new lease of life. He was playing at Tottenham when he wasn't playing, but he's in the squad. And it looks like he's come to West Brom and it's almost like the shackles have been released off him. And he's just expressing himself and he's playing in the team and he's brought so much to us and you know, he's just gone into the Premier League like sort of water in a duck's back. He's just taking it all in his stride and he's just really, really done superb for us and scored some very, very important goals and played a wonderful part in the success that we've been having over the last 2 or 3 weeks.
Mauro, we will be certainly keeping an eye on Chadli on Saturday evening at Anfield. Thank you very much for joining us on the Five Times podcast. We wish you well. Thank you.
The final word on the Five Times podcast.
That's your lot this week. Keep downloading or click subscribe on iTunes so you never miss a show. Thanks to Aldo, Ray Houghton and Jim Beglin. Big Darren Moore also. We'll speak to you next week. Thank you.